Our scripture today comes from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. I'll be starting at verse 5 and finishing at verse 23. It should be on the overhead for you, but if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you can find it on page 712 in the pew Bible. So once again, Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 23. Hear the word of God. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban,' that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus asked the crowd, called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Now today is the first Sunday in Lent, the 6 weeks leading up to Easter. During this Lenten season, we are doing a study by Jim Harnish, a retired United Methodist minister here in the Florida Conference. The study is A Disciple's Heart, Growing in Love and Grace. Now, I'll teach the study during the Sunday school hour today. We're going to be meeting over in the Learning Center building, the preschool building. And then I'll teach the same class again on Wednesday night. If you can't make it today, you can come Wednesday night. And it will go on like that for the 6 weeks of Lent. And daily workbooks are available if you don't already have one. A donation of $10 is appreciated but not required. Now, my sermons during the 6 weeks of Lent will be based upon this study as well, from a companion reader to the study that I have. This study is a sequel to one of Harnish's previous studies, A Disciple's Path. Now, we did that study a few years ago and still use it as our teaching material for our new members class. So, take part in our study if you would like, and I hope that the sermon series will be helpful to you. Now, as I said, Jim Harnish is a retired United Methodist minister. Some years ago, Jim had a very troubling physical scare. Jim suffered from a condition known as cardiomyopathy. Cardiomyopathy is a literal hardening of the heart. The heart muscle becomes rigid and it cannot pump blood to the rest of the body. The surgical cure is a heart transplant. Now, Jim's heart responded to treatment and medication, and as Jim makes sure to point out, prayer. And a transplant, fortunately, wasn't needed. Now, believe it or not, there is an even worse condition of the heart than cardiomyopathy. That would be a spiritual hardening of the heart. In Matthew 13:15, Jesus diagnoses spiritual cardiomyopathy when he quotes Isaiah, "For the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, Jim Harnish is a Methodist through and through, so John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, will be much quoted over the next few weeks. John Wesley defined true religion as, quote, a heart right toward God and men, unquote. Now, I spoke the other week of the Wesleyan teaching of going on to perfection, to strive to make our hearts right in love for God and for others. As the saying goes, the heart of the matter is always a matter of the heart. Now, every 4 weeks, a new group of men begin the year-long process, the year-long rehab journey at Justin's place. Now, the first phase of the program is to spend 4 weeks at the building right across the parking lot from our church. On Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock, they come to our fellowship hall. Usually, I teach a Bible study for the first 3 weeks, and then Pastor Dana has a session with them, and they receive a gift from our church of a Bible, a prayer journal, and some other spiritual materials. Now, I usually teach the book of James, explaining to the men that so much of the New Testament is letters written by various people, James, Paul, Peter, etc., trying to help those first century believers in various locations who have said, okay, I accept Jesus was the Son of God, and I accept that he died for my sins. I accept who he was and what he did. Now what? And that is much of what Jim Harnish is exploring in this study. The study, A Disciple's Path, focuses on becoming a believer. The study, A Disciple's Heart, is about continuing the journey. Harnish says that every trip we take should involve two questions. Where are we now? And where are we going? The same questions should be asked of our spiritual journey. Where are we now, and where are we going? And what is the Christian's GPS? I just found out this week that GPS stood for Global Positioning System. I never knew that. But maybe as far as the Christian is concerned, maybe it should be God's positioning system. The Christian's GPS consists of God's relationship with his creation as told to us in Scripture. It consists of the words and the will and the way of Jesus Christ in his death, life, death, and resurrection that sets the course for the abundant life that Jesus has promised. And it consists of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, an inner voice who, like that voice on the GPS, redirects us when we drift away from the path that we should be on. Harnish says, like it or not, we have to begin our journey where we are. Most of us want to begin where we think we should be if we'd started when we should have. We have to realize that we all begin in different places. My favorite professor in seminary, Dr. Bill Mallard, used to say that many Christians basically like to ask others, have you had my experience? Have you experienced God and Jesus the same way I have? If you have, then your experience is valid. If you haven't, then I'm not so sure. Harnish says there is no one size fits all when it comes to experiencing Jesus. Harnish recounts the great variety in how a number of New Testament people experienced Jesus. Some examples: shepherds heard the good news in a blazing light of angels. Wise men found the Christ at the end of a long and arduous journey. Fishermen met Jesus while working their nets. Nathanael discovered that Jesus knew him long before he knew Jesus. Matthew met Jesus while collecting taxes. And a house full of tax collectors and sinners met Jesus at a dinner party at Matthew's house. Mary and Martha encountered Jesus in the comfort of their own home. A centurion at the cross realized Jesus was the Son of God by watching him die. Mary Magdalene mistook Jesus for a gardener at the tomb. Saul was blinded by the presence of Jesus on the Damascus Road. And Timothy learned of Jesus Christ from his mother and his grandmother. How have you experienced Jesus? It is a fascinating question with a variety of answers. And you need not judge how others have experienced him. Just be thankful that they have. Harnish writes, "The gospel is the story of how ordinary people in ordinary places discovered the extraordinary presence of Jesus and rose up to follow him." Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, continued growth in love and grace involves naming where you are along the pathway of discipleship. Some questions you can ask yourself: where did your discipleship journey begin? Where are you now? And what is the next appropriate step in your discipleship? But that begs the question, what is the destination? Harnish says the destination of Christian discipleship in the Wesleyan tradition is nothing less than a spiritual heart transplant. Earlier in the reading from Ezekiel, Pastor Dana shared a promise from God: "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." I read to you from the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus says, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts." Jesus said he came to fulfill the law. He did not come with a new set of rules to control us from the outside in. Jesus came to call us to a new way of living that transforms us from the inside out. The critical factor is not how perfectly we live by the rules, but how deeply we love from the heart. Now, some may call it sanctification. Others may say going on to perfection. Wesleyan scholar Paul Wesley Chicote says that it is that process by which the Spirit makes us more and more like Jesus. It is a process of centering our lives on loving God and loving others. And it is a process. It takes time. It takes effort. We can decide to, in a moment, to follow Jesus. Being formed in Christ's likeness takes a lifetime. Christian perfection is the result of the patient, persistent work of the Spirit of God within us and through us. Harnish concludes, as followers of Christ, we are always works in progress. Imperfect disciples on the way to perfection. Ordinary men and women who need the continuing work of the divine cardiologist to heal our stony hearts, replacing them with hearts that are fully alive and being formed into a human likeness of the heart of God. By God's grace, we are going on to perfection. As Harnish says, if we're not going on to perfection, then where are we going? May we open our minds and may we open our hearts for the guidance of the Spirit to help each of us to determine, where do we go from here? What is our next step in our process of sanctification? In the process of going on to being perfect in Christian love?